thanks for introduction, and thank you for coming, everybody. So today I'm talking about ongoing work with Ami Hanani. So this is a new construction of the 0,4 supersymmetric gaze series in a brain setup. So this is not unpublished work, so I'm happy to discuss after the talk or in the talk, so please ask any questions if you have some unclear points. So this is the outline of this the talk. So the first of the talk, so I will review what the 0,4 supersymmetry is and some relevant topics I will explain. So like some holographic statement of the 0,4 and some anomaly problems. And then the last of this section, so I will tell you the problem, so what we are interested in. And the second part of my talk, so I will talk about details about the brain box model, which I'm talking in this talk. So the brain box model is I'm explaining in this talk. So this is a configuration of the D3 brains as a switch between NS and S prime brain, so which is a replacement of a D5 brain in the original brain box models. And the final part of my talk, so I will discuss the boundary condition, which preserves 0,4 supersymmetry in a three-dimensional and 4 supersymmetric gaze series in terms of brain. So this is kind of a discussing point using our result of the brain analysis. Okay, let's start with the introduction. So in 1+1 dimension, so there is a notion of left moving and right moving, whether the massless particle can move to right or left. And correspondingly, we can define the supercharges with the left moving or right moving properties. So this is so-called, so we have now the left moving charges denoted by Q minus, light moving supercharge plus signs here. So this is, so if you have a P supercharge, right left moving charges, moving supercharges, and Q left, right moving supercharges, this is known as the PQ supersymmetry. And the supersymmetric algebra also contains the PQ central scalar central charge. And now we concentrate on the case where we have a chiral supersymmetry. And this means that we have light moving, Q light moving supercharge. And let me start with a 0,2 supersymmetry, since this is convenient to construct a 0,4 supersymmetric series. So in a case of 0,2 supersymmetry, we can complexify the supercharges and denoted by Q plus and Q plus bar. In this case, we can introduce a superspace and we can formulate the UV Lagrangian in a set of superspace. And with using this superderivative also defined. So there are three supermultiplets in 0,2 super series. So the first two contents is described by the chiral multiplet and Fermi multiplet, which is a matter fields. And gauge fields also can be constructed by thinking of a gauge multiplet. And using the component expression, we can, so this has to satisfy the chirality condition. And then we can expand the superfields in terms of component fields. So phi is a complex scalar, and psi plus is a light moving fermion. And the Fermi multiplet contains a left moving fermion, and they do not satisfy the chirality condition. But this object E is a holomorphic function of chiral superfields. And this actually plays a role of the potential in the series. So I will talk about in the later. So, and the gauge multiplet consists of two superfields. So the one is the U, which contains the left moving gauge fields, and also left moving fermions. So you see, so this case, so we have a light moving complex gauge fields only, since that, so this chirality condition actually only require the pairing bosonic degree freedom and Fermi degree for these left moving parts. So using this covariant superderivatives, we can combine these two into the Fermi multiplet. So this is known as the field strength multiplet. And in a complex expression, we can write it in this form. So lambda minus is the gauge inner. And the U and the so gauge fields are now contained in this form, so in a covariant derivative. And the Lagrangian can be actually constructed for each term, each multiple, by thinking about kinetic terms. And the significant the terms is the E and D terms, so which is actually contribution to the potential, the bosonic potential in the 0-2 series. Also, we can introduce the potential terms known as the J term, so which is super, also called a superpotential in the 0-2 series. And for each Fermi multiplet, we can define the holomorphic function J. So this is the holomorphic function of super chiral superfields. Preserve the supersymmetry, we have to impose this condition. So the summation over all the Fermi multiplet, so we take this E and the product of E and J, and should be zero. And one example of this J term is the Fi term and theta angle. So we can formulate in a J term. So to promote the 0,4 supersymmetry, so I would like to construct the field contents and in terms of 0-2 language. But before that, so this 0,4 supersymmetry tells us the R symmetry rotating the supercharges, SO4 R symmetry, isomorphic to SU2 cross SU2. So in this talk, I will denote by SU2C and SU2H for these two factors. So 0,4 supersymmetry contains a 4 super multiplets, so vector multiplets, twisted hyper, hyper, and Fermi multiplets. So the component fields, so as I show here, so gauge field and gauge, you know, are fermions now belong to the vector multiplet, and the hyper and hyper twisted hyper and hyper multiplet are almost same. They consist of matters that construct the matter fields. But they are their representation under the SU2C and SU2H are just opposite. So these two multiplets contain the light moving fermions. And a Fermi multiplet is a strange object, which does not contain any bosonic degree freedom on shell. So they contain light moving fermions only. And this is also trivial representation under SU2C and SU2H. So these multiplets can be constructed in terms of 0-2 super multiplet. So vector multiplet can be constructed by gauge multiplet and adjoint Fermi multiplet. And these two matter multiplets consist of the pair of the chiral multiplets. And so one note is that, so chiral multiplet in the hyper multiplet, at least the hyper multiplet, and the hyper multiplet can be coupled to the adjoint Fermi multiplet in this J and E term. So the reason is that this twisted hyper and the vector multiplet can be lifted to the 4,4 multiplet. And then the vector multiplet in 4,4 multiplet now split into the 0,4 vector and twisted hyper. So this actually, so the saying that, so J terms, consisting of the E terms for so this is the opposite story. E term is for the high twisted hyper, and J term is this hyper. So this is the opposite story. So these terms actually split into the J and the E for twisted and hyper. And this means that we have to solve this equation, the constraints, to preserve 0,2. And if you have both twisted and hyper multiplet, we have to introduce Fermi multiplet, which coupled to twisted and hyper, and then to cancel this. So I don't discuss the interaction of Fermi multiplet. I just review the interactions of the 0,4 supersymmetry associated with left-moving fermions in Fermi multiplet. So this is actually originally argued by Witten. So the general formula supersymmetric transformation of the left-moving fermions can be written in this form. So she is a function of the twisted hyper and hyper. And then I denoted by I for the labels of the left-moving fermions, which runs from 1 to NF. So now we are considering NF left-moving fermions. Then a general onshape Lagrangian can be written in this form. So we have a Yukawa coupling and potential terms. So these are expressed by the function of the hyper and twisted hyper. And to preserve zero-count force supersymmetry, this function should satisfy these two constraints. And the first constraint comes from the global structures of zero-count four algebras. And the second condition comes from the supersymmetric variation condition. And the second constraint can be solved in this form. So this is the function of a hyper and twisted hyper. And x, y, z, m are independent of these twisted and hyper multiple scalars. So using this form, so we can write the potential in general in this form. But to focus on this SU2C invariant sector, then so we actually turn off the SU2 doublet, M and F. So then the potential can be reduced in this form. So B tensor B is now function of A.
The C is not topological.
The C, the meaning of C, is not, I don't know why we then introduce C. It's just a function. C.
No, no, I mean SU2C.
Ah, yes.
SU2C,
yes, exactly. So I'm just like to discuss the boundary condition in three dimensions. Mm-hmm. So which has a Coulomb sector, a Coulomb branch, and Higgs branch. Mm-hmm. Then if I consider that the zero force supersymmetry on the boundary, is SU2C, SU2H associated to the higher dimensional algebra. Thank you. So you see, so this case, the twisted hyper P is massive. And the on the other hand, the hypermultiple scalar H is now massive. And this which parameterize the vacuum equation, the solution to vacuum equation. So schematically, we can say that moduli space or such a space of solution is the R for NF. So NF is the numbers of the H, the hypermultiple scalar. But the observation is on Yukawa coupling. So using that form, I mean this form, so the Yukawa coupling reduced to this form. And now you can see that, so the chi is the twisted hyper fermion, and psi is the hyper fermion. And the twisted hyper fermions, multiple fermions, is now massive, and hyper multiple fermion is a massive. So the effect of these on left moving fermions is that, so now the difference, so if your NF is larger than 4NF prime, or capital NF prime, then remaining components of the left movers are just the massless. So rewrite the left moving fermions in this form. So I introduce the basis B, satisfying this orthogonal property. Then the equations or constraints comes from the Yukawa coupling is given by this equation. And this equation is nothing but the ADHM equation. So using this tensor B and solve the equation comes from the Yukawa coupling, we can construct so a self-dual SON gauge view. So this is the reason that we can propose zero-count four super symmetric sigma models describing the instanton. For every instanton that can be constructed by ADHM equation, then self-count four sigma model can tell the information of this tensor B. So this is one application of the zero-count four supersymmetric field theory. So now I'd like to discuss some other context of the anomaly in a zero-count four supersymmetric theories. So global symmetry.
This is the punchline, sorry.
Yes.
So you're considering a generic?
It's not generic. Sorry, generic.
In the Grossman size, sorry. What is the punchline?
Yes. The punchline is now we are focusing on S2, S2 invariance, and then turn off the
S2. Generic theory, or what are you doing?
This is just a sigma. So it's not Gauss theory. This is a description of as a nonlinear sigma model constructed from hyper, twisted, and free mass.
Sorry, now you're describing things that look like a gauge theory, no, with some potential. The scalar field fermions cover some potentials. There was no non-linear signal.
Right, so this is kind of separate story, so I don't discuss the gauge theory here. I just review the context of the some generic interaction for nonlinear signal models in a zero-common process of magnetic theory. So if I consider RG flow and so move to the IL, then firstly we may encounter the nonlinear signal model, then we could have this description.
So which kind of manifolds can you have so far?
So we can say that it's parameterized by the hypermatch scalar fields, and the dimension is associated with these numbers O and F.
That's not a
nonlinear
signal model.
Yes, it's a nonlinear signal model. So far I don't discuss such a moduli space explicitly. So because now we have to solve this the thing is that so
I'm confused. I mean, are you looking specific? Non-linear
signal
models, or generic?
It's a generic context. It's not specific.
I mean, if I take any hypothetical manifold, I can define a signal model, mm-hmm. which have four models for simulus in particular at 0.4.
Yes.
I have no idea share equations, right?
Right. But the thing is that now we have a constraint comes from the zero-compound supersymmetry for left-moving fermion interaction. Then this is actually encoded by the tensor B, and then this tells us ADHM equation.
I'm really not following what you're talking about. I was following until a couple of slides ago.
Okay, but the thing is that, so now, so I don't discuss some precise theories, so now.
Isn't it true that we can write down a signal model that's 4.4 or 0.4? Nothing to do with
ADHM,
right?
Sure.
You can just go ahead and...
That was confusing. If
this is just an example.
But he said he's doing something generic, not an example. I'm not following.
No, but he has a vector model floating around as well.
No, not anymore. He says it's now just doing a non-linear signal model, so I don't know where to move to the same, right?
So where does that constraints come from?
So constraints comes from the supersymmetric condition. So if you consider the supersymmetric variation of this twice, then we can get this constraint.
Yes.
And then this constraint comes from the more different story. So if you start with n equals 0.1 supermatch spread, and it requiring the 0.4 supersymmetry, then such a...
So this is signal model with hypers and n-twisted hypers?
NF, yes, so...
So it's like actually for a non-linear sigma model with hypers and...
Yes, sorry. So I should discuss such a terms are constructed by hypers and twisted hypers.
Is this the Lagrangian of a non-linear sigma model?
It is not. But...
So we're not talking about the non-linear.
Non-linear, yeah. So not talking about. This is just a generic structures of the 0.4 action.
What do you mean generic?
I mean the... So if you start with a left-moving fermion, and then requiring a 0.4 supersymmetry for this,
yes.
Then the action, the onset action constructed by left-moving fermions can be...
What is the target of the H and T fields?
Right, so the case
are
of...
Are they valued in negative numbers, or are they valued them in a manifold?
So now, Yes, so I should explain, and so sorry, this is a very last...
Everything looks very linear now. Yeah.
Yes, so the I'm expecting that we have NF, this is a hypermatch with scalar fields, and NF prime, this is a hypermatch with scalar.
Which representation of which gate group?
So the, no, so this is, so I don't specify any representation.
But how do you...
The representation is either in the adjoint or in a fundamental.
So yeah, but if you start with a gauge series and construct your potential terms and action, then so this is different. Now I'm talking about such a generic action associated with left-moving fermion.
What does it mean?
The meaning of the left-moving fermion.
No, generic
action. So this means that so. Well, so if we assume the generic term fits is just a gauge invariant covariant derivatives, this is just a free action.
I think it is a fermions coupled to
Bakun's gauge the background spills.
So there are fermions and there are linear valued hypers and distant hypers.
No, so what?
No. Hypers are the fundamental of the gauge.
There is no gauge. Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I cannot call this contradictory statement. If he says there is no gauge, why do you say there is a gauge group?
But this discussion is not associated with gauge theory. I'm talking about some genetic aspect of the actions, the structure of the action associated with left-wing fermions. This is not gauge theory.
So it's not coupled to gauge?
No.
Okay.
So that is why, so maybe I make confusion since I started from...
But genetically, which sense? These are fermions which are actually, you know, this is a linear sigma model, right?
Yes, yes, yes. That's right.
Some,
yeah, some twisted hyper and twisted hyper match.
Valued in R.
Yes.
From our.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Sorry.
Okay.
So this is
there
just.
There is a potential.
This, there is a potential.
Okay. Very good. And then what do you do here?
Yeah. So this here. So I'm now.
Do you assume that you only have hypers?
Well, so I'm now,
what
no,
do you mean?
We have, we may have both, but I'm saying that the, this is encoding the data of the Dirac-Bohr supersymmetry, but now I'm assuming that this chi is a SU2 singlet.
Okay.
So then, sorry, so this SU2 singlet means that, so this now I can express in this form, and then the X and M is a doublet under the SU2C. So A tilde just SU2C doublet.
Yes, so,
so that's why you turn off those
medias. Okay. So now we're looking for an SU2C
invariance. Then
particular type of hand.
Yes.
Okay.
Then the potential terms now reduce to this form. So now I have no X and Y, X and M, then written in terms of Y and Z.
So you only coupled to hyper.
Yes, exactly.
Not multiplets anymore.
Yes. So that's why, so now the we are thinking about some space of a solution to the vacuum equation parameterized by H hypermultiple scalars.
Yeah, why the twisted massive?
So because now we can see that this is kind of a mass term for the T.
Ah, no, so there is still coupling to the twisted hypers, okay.
Yes, yeah, yes, in this sense, yes.
Unless this B is a zero.
Yeah. Yeah, unless there's a yeah.
So we're looking at a branch of vacuum where the H, where the T's are zero and the H's are generic.
Yeah. Okay, so this is kind of application of zero. sorry.
And then what happened here?
So here, so now I'm thinking about the Yukawa coupling in a zero four series.
Yes.
So then, so using that expression of C, then we can write this form.
Okay.
So now this coupling is now reduced to the coupling between the left-moving fermion C and the right-moving fermion chi.
Yes.
And this is light-moving and left-moving. Then now we have a missing part of this term.
So
then the chi is now become massive since they couple to this. So they included this term.
Yes.
But the hypermultiple fermion psi plus is now massive.
Okay.
And then the C can be massive. So the due to this coupling, but if we have small nf is larger than 4nf prime, so this is the difference of the so the remaining components.
Okay, so you're saying that the massless fermions are a bundle on the
yes exactly
vacuum, which is an instanton. It's a self-dual.
Exactly. Yes. So this is a beautiful observation by Witten.
Ah, exactly. It's like homomorphic band.
Yes. So, so now, so this story, so the is a kind of different. So I'm talking about the anomalies in the Dirac-Bohr supersymmetry series. So we may have global symmetry, such a global anomalies in a top-drift anomaly in a kind of supersymmetry series, and then this can be enhanced or understood as a fine Hertz-Moody symmetry, since in the IR, the holomorphic or anti-holomorphic currents now enhance the symmetry, original finite dimensional algebras to the infinite dimensional algebras. This is an interesting phenomena in a Kairos series. But the significant data or constraints comes from the gauge anomaly condition. So for consistency, we have to cancel out gauge anomaly for gauge theory. So this is actually a key point in the discussion to construct a gauge theory. So this is an example. So if you consider the UNC gauge theories with NF hypermultiplet, then so this is a contribution to the anomaly, the non-abelian anomaly, SU2N anomalies. It's a field string coform anomaly polynomials. So we can compute the anomaly coefficient in this form, and this has to cancel. This means that NC has to be 2NF in this matter context. So this is a very powerful constraint to consider gauge theory. And this is also a different subject. So it is interesting to think about the holographic statement or application for zero-count force supersymmetric theory. So typical or successful example for in the 4-count 4 supersymmetric case. So this is the statement of the one-to-one correspondence between the primary operators in a 4-count 4 SGFT and BPS states or Kaluza-Klein spectra in a supergravity on this geometry. And the central charge is fixed to be 6 times NC and NF. So the natural question or such a promotion is, what about the case of zero force supersymmetry? So the one proposal was studied in the old days by these people. So this is a system of D1, D5, KK system. So we now include the KK monopoles. So now the number is denoted by K, small k. And in the extended case, so this is proposed, the central charge is extended from here by, so we have additional K here. And the geometry is now taken to be orbifold. And also we can lift to the M theory, then this geometry is now lifted to ADS 3 times S2 times some Calabi-Yau, and then this is M solitical. And another example can be also constructed concerning such D1, D5 plus, D5 prime plane. So that the configuration is as follows. And these, so the people actually conjecture that central charge, so this is actually computed from a Blau-Hanau phenomena of parameters. If you look at the solution or such a supergravity geometry, then we can compute a central charge from a gravity solution. And then actually,
too many free spheres in the middle?
Here?
Yeah.
This is correct. So we have two S3 factors.
Sure.
Yes. So this M4 is not here. Sorry. Yeah. So, yeah, sorry.
And are you sure?
Yes.
I would update first S3, honestly.
So this case, M4 is should be neglected. So, so this is a 10-dimensional. So this case, so I should write it down. Yeah, S1 is here.
I think you just dropped the second factor of S3. If you know, this is 3 times S3 was a K times a 4.
Yes. Maybe. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Oops, yeah.
It's an op, kind of an op, right?
Yes, sorry, so this case is a type 2B realization, but I think more appropriate thing is that to start with M series, and then it's a ADS 3 times S2 times Calabi-Yau. And then this is 11 dimensions, and then we can find this corresponding. So it's a kind of triple M5 intersections, and we can get this 0-4. But sorry, this should be modified, yeah, so maybe S. Yeah, this factor should be neglected, and then we can get this factor. But anyway, so these are kind of extended case. So it's a kind of challenging problems. And also, so in this talk, I would like to discuss the boundary condition with zero-count force supersymmetry by starting from 3D N=4. So I will briefly review the boundary condition with supersymmetry. So the given Lagrangian, UV Lagrangian, and the supersymmetric transformation, so we can think about a boundary condition to preserve equation of motion. Also, we can consider the boundary condition to preserve supersymmetry. And the condition is given by this constraint. So the convenient tool is actually supercurrent. If you consider the normal components of the supercurrent, then the, using the equation motion, then we can actually turn off this term. Then the condition can be summarized in this form. So the normal component of the supercurrent vanishing. In the case of zero count force supersymmetry in the three dimensions, so we can impose a chirality condition for the supersymmetric parameters or supercharges. So this actually naturally leads to the chiral supersymmetric boundary condition. And so this is the construction of the UV Lagrangian. So we can start with the n equal 1, so 6-dimensional n equal 1 super young mules, and then we can construct a 3D n equal 4 vector merge spread. And then we have gauge fields and the triplet stellar fields under the SU2C, and also we have gauge genome. And using this supercurrent expression, we can look for the condition to preserve supersymmetry. So to solve the equation, we can impose the chirality condition on a gauge genome lambda as well. And we can find a solution for two cases, so chiral plus or minus. In this case, we can preserve the left moving fermions, so I denoted by lambda minus. So this is kind of a Neumann boundary condition for the left moving fermions. And associated to this, we can find a Neumann condition for gauge fields, the Dirichlet condition for scalar. And on the other hand, the other case or choice, we can get a Dirichlet condition for the gauge fields and the non-polar boundary condition for a triplet scalar. So this is interpreted as a Neumann condition for A2 components, which are normal components, gauge fields, and also Neumann condition for the phi. So because now we are extending the case of the equations. So these conditions now tells us remaining surviving degrees of freedom on the boundaries can form, therefore, super multiple degrees of freedom. So this normal condition allows for vector merge spread in two dimensions, and these remaining components can be combined into the twisted hyper. So kind of splitting structures is very clear. So CD n equal 4 vector merge spread split into vector and twisted in two dimensions. So this is the same game for the hyper merge spread. So we can find the solution, and then Neumann for left moving fermions, right moving fermions give us two possibilities, and they form the hyper and Fermi merge spread. So the interesting question would be how to understand such boundary conditions in a brain setup. So starting from an Hanani-Witten setup, so we can introduce, so this case is we can preserve H supercharges, and 3D n equal 4 can be defined on a these three brains. So these additional five brains, now importing first conditions, the projection conditions, then we can actually show that supercharges along these two directions is just satisfying the chirality condition. And also we can keep four supercharges under these projections. So that means, so therefore, supersymmetry can be preserved in this configuration. So the boundary condition can be actually systematically drawn in these figures or pictures. So you see, so these, so we can put d5 prime or ns5 prime in the two cases, the theory for vectors and theory for hypermerge spread. And in the first case, d5 prime brains allows the degree of freedom. So denoted by circle, left circle. So twisted hyper and vector can survive for each d5 prime and the ns5 prime. Also, we can consider the hypermerge spread boundary conditions by imposing a condition by ns5 prime and d5 prime. For the d5 prime, we have no bosonic degree of freedom. On the other hand, so this means that we have Fermi merge spread in this case. Or Fermi merge spread degrees of freedom, sorry, yeah, it's not exactly Fermi merge spread, but it's a degree of freedom can survive. In the case of ns5 prime, we can keep all the bosonic fields, and this form the hypermerge spread. So as a next step, so it's interesting to ask, so because recently Davide actually proposed and gives the formulas to understand the boundary anomalies in the boundaries in the case of delta n equals two supersymmetric case. So using this boundary anomaly contribution, so this actually, so briefly to so explain about this contribution. So this is, can be compared with the bulk, boundary contribution. So this is the anomaly contribution of the two-dimensional 0,2 multiplets. And this is almost half of the contribution. So if you consider the 3D bulk fields obeying the boundary condition, then the boundary anomaly contribution is almost half of these. And as I said, for the two-dimensional 0,4 series, so the boundary condition to preserve gauge symmetry is also important, since they should satisfy the anomaly cancellation. So this means that we have a strong constraint to understand, so that construct the 0,4 Neumann boundary condition for gauge fields. So for instance, if you consider, so using that brain technique, so we also consider this situation. So now we have UNC. So this is just a non-abelian UNC gauge theory symmetry and also NF hypermultiplet in a sediment. This is a Kuiper gauge theory with so small n nodes. So this is the Kuiper. And we can compute a boundary gauge anomaly in this way by impose NS5 prime. So to understand or such anomalies in a brain construction. So we observe that linking numbers for each of those five brains associate to these quantities. So you can see that, so these red colored letters, you know, so they present the linking numbers for five brains, and then these quantities can be realized as the difference of these NS5, the linking numbers. So this case is also same. So you can see these contributions realized as a difference of linking numbers. So this actually tells us that it's some relation between gauge anomaly and the linking numbers. So the question I'd like to ask in this talk is how to construct gauge anomaly free boundary condition in brain setup. So in the last part of the talk, I will propose a possible solution. I think it's better to discuss, but we like to propose such possibilities. Okay, so then this is our final part of the section one. So the interesting models proposed by Hanani and Zaffaroni in old days, so 1907. So the brain box models, this is a 4D n equal 1 Kuiper gauge series constructed from a D5 NS5 brain. And additionally, we can introduce the flavor D7 brain. So the brain box configuration is, so we are now thinking about the blue colored regions filled by D5 brain. And then we can define the four-dimensional gauge series so in this construction. So the area of this region corresponds to the gauge coupling. And then we can construct the Kuiper gauge series. And then taking a T duality along 2 and 3, then this is reduced to 2D n equal 2,2 setup. So this means that so we cannot reach 0,4. Brain box model by starting from original configuration setup. So the D3 brain box model in this talk is constructed as I am promoting previous by promoting the previous setup. So now we have D3 brains. So this is noted by yellow colored region, and then we put the NS5 and NS5 prime brain to keep the n equals 0,4 supersymmetry. So this is a question that I'd like to ask and study. Okay, so this is the end of the introduction. So if you have questions, so we can ask any questions, okay. Okay, then I would like to tell the details of these brain box models. So how do we know about this gauge theory? So our strategy is to take teach value to firstly start with the periodic plane configuration. I mean, it's defined on torus. So now I take a six direction and a two direction along the vertical, horizontal and vertical. Then I take a torus on these two. Then we would like to take teach value along six and two. Then the configuration is, as I introduced in the previous section, so this is a kind of a generalization of a D5, D1, D5KK, and D5, D5' system. So in the, as a specialization, we can reach D5, D5KK, or D5, D5'. So before discussing a general compilation consisting of D1, D5, D5', I'd like to review the analysis of the D1 planes on a singularity. So these were previously studied by Mori and so those peoples. So if we put D1 planes proving such geometries, flat case, we can preserve 8,8 and Calabio 2C. Or, so the significant part is this, the complex plane factor. If we have a complex plane in a geometry, then we can preserve chiral supersymmetry. But if this is not, so there is no so complex plane, then chiral supersymmetry can be preserved. So in our case, so we have D1 KKKK', and then we have a non-trivial geometry, which is transverse to KK monopoles. And this is a kind of product space of C2 mod ZK' and C2 over Z as a mod ZK. Then complexify these coordinates, Z1, Z2, this is Z4, and we can consider the action of the objects. So this is actually included in this case. So it's a kind of, it's a product of ALE space or Calabi-Yau tuples. And we'd like to discuss this case. So the starting point is a flat case. We start with the D1 brains proving C4, and the theory is described by 8,8 supersymmetric gauge series containing 4 0,2 adjoint chiral match pairs identified by RLUV. And D. And also we have a 3 0,2 adjoint Fermi match pairs. So it's a kind of signed delta and nabla and lambda. And this figure, the picture, is the schematical diagrams, the quiver diagrams. So the red lines, the colored red lines, is the Fermi match pair. And blue lines, the blue arrows, are chiral match pairs. So we have 4 chiral match pairs and 3 Fermi match. And this circle, yellow circle, is the 0,2 vector gauge match pair. So the action, interactions can be. Battery is running out, so I should move there. Okay, the problem is so how to describe the D1 brains at singularity. So the analysis is actually followed by Douglas Moore. So I'd like to discuss some general arguments. So given the regular D1, so N D brains proving singularity space, so this number C to D mod gamma, and gamma is now a singularity in the series, so which is abelian discrete group, subgroup of the space-time symmetry SUD. So it's an isomorphic group of the associated to the moving of the planes. So the, and also I denote by R gamma is a regular reducer representation of gamma. And this can be, this is reduced, so that's why reducible, so that we can actually decompose into the one-dimensional unitary irreducible representation gamma ri here. And the data in the gauge theory can be specified or determined by thinking about the action of gamma on Campeyton factors and on embedded space C to D. So these two are the irreducible one-dimensional representation. So the action of gamma on a CP factor or Champeyton factor tells us the Freeberg gauge group structures. So for each irreducible representation, so we can introduce the gauge factors, the UN factors. On the other hand, for the matter fields, we can consider the product. So we can compute the product of the D, so representation D is associated to the matter, the representation of matter fields under the SUD. Then, so we can get D types of matter fields as a result of this product. So in our case, we have two orbifold action. So this means that we have two types of quivers, so two direct, so it's a kind of toroid quivers. And we actually so consider the embedding of the orbifold actions into SU2H prime and SU2H, SU2C prime. So the reason is that now we are thinking about D1, D5, D5 prime planes. So that's why the geometry is only the, so the allowing us to embed these orbital action into these two SU2 factors. And I show the results. So this is the matter content and the gauge group. So four chiral mass spread now split into two cases, the horizontal line or horizontal arrows and the vertical arrows. I denoted by blue color and green colors. And the frame mass spread also split into two cases. So the diagonal diagonal lines or loop. And a loop means that we have a joint representation. So this means that so these 0,2 quivers, the structures of the 0,4 series, now combine into the 0,4 mass spread. So the horizontal arrows now combine to the hyper, and the vertical arrows combine to the twisted hyper. And the Fermi mass spread consists of a kind of pair of the 0,2 Fermi, which is the X or B configuration. It's a kind of mysterious thing, so we cannot write it in just a diagonal single line. And also vector mass spread can be constructed by the pair of the vector gauge mass spread and the adjoint frame mass. And also we can read off the interactions. So we can actually think of, so each frame mass spread, we can define the J and the E terms. So this corresponds to the triangles associated to these diagonal lines. So, and also we consider the orientation of these triangles, then we have a contribution plus and minus for these orientations. Okay, so this is an example. So if we consider the C2 mod D2 and C2 mod D2, and the action is 1100011, then we have 4 times 4 chiral mass spread, since now the we have a D2 times D2 for the orbifold. So this gives us 4 families of the 4 chiral mass spreads. And also we have 4 times 3 Fermi mass spreads. And the quiver diagram does this one. And using the previous dictionary, we can write it, so draw the pictures in terms of 0,4 notations. And also we can write it, write the interactions. It's a little bit complicated. So far, so we identify the field contents and interactions in for D1 brains on a singularity. But now we go back to the original problems, which is D3 brains stretched by NS and NS prime. So this is nothing but the 2x2 box model. So Now it's very clear to see so how we can identify the matter content by reading of these Cleaver diagrams. So the dictionary is given by the next slide. One. So for box, each box of DNA, these three brains, we can draw the picture of the vector match spread. There's a circle, orange circle. And for each of the horizontal lines or edges between the boxes correspond to the bifundamental hyper and vertical case, we can draw the picture of the, we can associate the bifundamental twisted hyper. And the Fermi match spread is kind of strange. So for diagonal lines, we can essentially associate the 0,2 Fermi match, but they can form 0,4 like X configuration. Now we'd like to promote the case of D1, D5, D5 prime. So we identify already the spectra from D1, D1 strings. Now we also have D1, D5 string and D1, D5 prime string and D5, D5 prime string. But significant data is embedding structures of the ZK, ZK prime into SU2H prime and SU2HC prime. So this means that the modification only appears for Fermi match spread. So these D1, D5, and D1, D5 prime case correspond to the 4,4 hyper match spread. So and the D5, D5 prime thing gives us the 0,8 Fermi match spread. So the resulting spectra for these case is as follows. So now the modification is on a global symmetry, the flavor symmetry, GF. So the previous case, we have a modification on the gauge fields, but now we have also modification of the flavor symmetry. And the structure of Cleaver is as follows. So forgetting about the square circle, square squares, so we are already discussing, we already have discussed the case of the D1s on C4 over C4. And then this additional factors now tells us the modification of the Fermi match spread shifted to the next boxes. So one note is that so the anomaly contribution does not come from the additional flavors. So they actually cancel out. So then we can introduce such flavor brains. So this is the dictionary, including the contribution of the flavor D5 and the flavor D5 prime brain. So this is an example. So maybe I will skip the details, but so this is D1 D5 KK system as a simplified case. And already this Cleaver is known. So this is a kind of a double Cleavers. So we have inner Cleavers and outer Cleavers associated to the affine Dynkin diagram. But now we can actually also see the dual pictures as a brain box models. So next example is a non-trivial case where we have all the contents. So we have D1, D5, D5 prime, and C2 mod D2, and times the C2 mod D2. So this case, we have additional matter contents, and then the flavor brains gives us the matter contents. So H and C are associated to the D5 brain, and the T and theta correspond to the D5 prime brain. So I mean D1, D5 strings and D1, D5 prime strings. And the remaining Fermi match spread associated to D1, D5, D5 prime strings. So the T-dual picture is a T, so the brain box model, so it's also T2x2 brain box models, but with additional flavor brains. And the interesting problem is, so if you take the S-dual of this configuration, then we can encounter this. it is more complicated since we have now two NF times two NF prime boxes associated to the gauge factors. So this is kind of an interesting issue to work on. So, but finally, so I will give some properties of brain box models. So the first thing is the gauge anomaly condition. So now using our dictionary, we identify the matter content appearing from the diagonal, horizontal, and the vertical lines. Then the gauge anomaly cancellation requires this condition. So this is one strong constraint to construct box models. And we can also consider Hanani-Witten move. So given this brain construction, we can read off the linking numbers for each intersection or infinite lines. Then we can take Hanani-Witten move in this way. So I mean, D5 brains moving to right, and D5 prime brains moving to the top. Then the resulting configuration in this way. So we have additional D3 brains. So this creation of D3 brains in the top areas and also right areas. Then using our dictionary, we can read off the matter content. Then, so this is actually also alternative derivation of the result by Oifold computation. So we can actually identify these matter contents. This is hyper and hyper mass spread and diagonal free mass spread. Okay. So as a final part of my talk, so now discuss the construction of boundary condition in terms of brain. So this is the original problem that I posed. So given the NS5 prime brains, we can consider Neumann boundary condition for gauge fields. But we can observe that gauge anomaly is associated to the linking numbers. So now I propose one assumption, which is the statement of the linking numbers can be shared for the boundary NS5 prime brains. So this is a kind of one assumption to start with. So if we impose these constraints or conditions, so we can assign the linking numbers in this way. So I denoted by minus L for the linking numbers of the NS5 prime brains. Then this means that we have addition of these three brains. And then using our dictionary, now we can read off matter contents. So green lines is just a twisted hyper, and diagonal lines are pretty much spread. There is a freedom to our boundaries. So there is now twisted hyper and Feynman. And the computing the boundary anomalies from these 2D degrees of freedom, then this contribution cancel the gauge anomaly coming from the bulk fields obeying the boundary conditions. For the second case, we can also consider a Hanani-Witten move. So we can consider this compilation and impose the linking numbers which are the same. Then the dictionary tells us some other contents are the same in the same way. And these anomaly contributions again cancel the bulk contributions. But one notice is that we have two notices. So the one is that so we have to impose linking numbers for boundary brains smaller than the attached D3 brains. So this is actually due to the fact that we have positive numbers for the numbers of DC brains. So under these constraints, we can actually keep the positive numbers of these bits. And the second point is that if you consider the abelian gauge nodes, then so this twisted hyper is not needed to cancel the gauge anomaly. So if we reduce the rank of gauge nodes, the flavor nodes for abelian gauge nodes, then it can also work. But for abelian case, it's a little bit different, since the anomaly contribution from a gauge, you know, for abelian case is different. So this should be considered. And yeah, so this is a note.
Meaning in an abelian case, you will have both.
Yes, non-abelian.
And the abelian, so I don't understand why the abelian should be different from the non-abelian.
So non-abelian case, yes. That's right. So maybe so abelian, yeah, that's for this theory. So if you consider an abelian gauge anomaly, then we have to consider also a non-abelian case. So, but I mean, so the case of, yes, that's true. Yeah, this is also true for the non-abelian.
So if you have two brains, you have a huge, not a huge, but a abelian.
Right. Yes, yes. Okay, so this is the final proposal on our open issues and possible future direction. So maybe, so I think I should stop now or, okay, so I will stop here. So thank you very much for attention, yeah.
Something about
your
last point?
This one?
No, sorry, the last point.
Last point, yes. So the one thing is that, so the first thing is that, so now we are constructing a 0-4 gauge series in terms of 0-2 language. So I would like to understand some formulation of 0-4, so the understanding of moduli space of 0-4 series and so the thing is that we do not write it down, the potential terms in terms of 0-4 language. So it's not explicit for 0-4 notation. So this is kind of more fundamental questions to construct a 0-4 gauge theory. And the second part is the 0-4 mirrors is interesting question whether we can think about the mirror action or isoduality action in the type 2B string series. So as I show in the one of the example, so D3 is unchanged under the S12 and D5 DNS exchange. So that tells us some new types of duality context in a gauge series, as in 3DN equal 4. So in the third point is the, first brain setup is now I would like to also introduce the OB fold or orient folds, or we can also consider understanding of the overall construction of D1 brains. Now, it is also associated, so it turns out that it's associated to D1, D5, D5 prime on a KK monopost. And then, so yeah, first brain setup tells us some more details about gauge theory.
Okay, so we're asking about the holographic stuff?
This case, yes. Holographic statement is I'm saying so that this is extension of D1, D5, D5 prime and D5 KK. And then,
so one of his guesses just to take AES3
yeah, model
and
model ZK, yeah.
In such a way that you, I mean,
because I, yes,
going to give you some backgrounds which have, you know,
yeah, so
0.4.
Yes, so the one interesting question is what is the central charges for this case? So already the formulas, so using the Brown-Hahn formula, we can compute the central charges for.
Right, but yeah. This should be easy to work out because you know what it is for the AES3.
Yes, yes.
So more difficult is,
right,
you know, that's easy.
Right.
As well, so is the statement that that's going to give you all the answers, or presumably no, there should be more complicated solutions where somehow the KK monopoles play a bigger role than just orbit.
Yeah, I agree. So Yeah, the final set state. So this is kind of, you know, just challenging problems to just promote the original case, the previous cases. So it's not, you know, I don't tell any particular examples or extensions, but I'm saying that this is maybe an interesting question to work on. So.
So is there anything known about these 0.4 theories from Bootstrap or some other?
Yes, I think so, because now, so yeah, some people are actually working on a Bootstrap, but yes, this is known, but.
No published results.
No. Oh, you are publishing soon?
Yeah, long multiple Bootstrap. Very intense.
I see. But now currently, so many people working on F-theory, constructing such 0.4 SGFT from gravity analysis. And that actually, you know, yeah, if you believe the radius SGFT, then this means that we have corresponding big point for the 0.4 series. And
so one of my motivations for my project is E-strip.
Yes.
Is there any kind of tool to there?
Yes. So in the case of, so that E strings also can be addressed in a particular case like D1, D5. So I mean, so I show the double quivers, outer and inner. And then in that case, introducing the O planes, you know, such as the orient holes, so then we can reach some cases.
D1, D5.
Yeah, D1, D5, and yeah, it's such, you know, associated D2, D4 also, and then we can. But the case of two types of D5, D5 prime, then it is not the same. It's more complicated.
Any other questions? Thank you.